still not completely comfortable being up here, but it's getting better. When I was doing this, going through the Bible and reading books on grace, I had to do, in AA said, they say take a fearless moral inventory of yourself. And that kind of hit me going through this. It's like, so everything that I'm saying today is basically stuff that I checked myself on. And the sermon is, has grace left the house? And the first thing I think that we need to understand, and I found this, is that I don't think of grace like God thinks of grace. And his grace is different than mine completely. And the world's way of saying grace or showing grace and describing it is, of course, most people would say God's unmerited favor. And that is true. It is unmerited favor, but it's much, much more than that. And sometimes I think we get stopped there and we don't look deeper into the word grace and what it really means. It says getting something we don't deserve, giving something to someone they don't deserve. It's a prayer before meal. You say grace. And if you're not here but overseas and stuff, it's a way of addressing royalty. You know, they grace them. They bow before them. And that's what we do with God. That's showing humbleness before him, thankfulness before him, and showing him love and respect. And there are also negatives with grace that we use. One of them is a fall from grace. I've heard that a lot, especially in the Christian community, like Jimmy Swaggart, Baker, even President Nixon, you know, they fall from grace is what a lot of them call it. And also, you know, and this one really hurts when you say it to people is, you're a disgrace. You know, that does, number one, it's doing a disservice and misusing God's grace and what it means. And number two, it says you can cut the flesh with words, and that cuts deep. It would for me anyway. And then the government too. I've never heard this one. It says a person without grace, if you like a traitor or you've done something that doesn't please the government, they say you are a person without grace. And that's not true. That's not true. Because you look at what we've done before God showed the mercy and saved us. Yeah, we have grace. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're at now, you still have grace. It never ends because it's God giving it to us. If it was us giving grace to God, it'd be a whole different story because we're human and we live by our feelings a lot instead of living by grace. And grace is a choice just like anything else. You know, everything that we do in life is a choice. And sometimes we make bad choices. I know I have many times over. And God's still shown me grace. And how many times... Just this is a question, all you can throw up numbers, I don't care. How many times do you think the word disgrace is in the Bible? Anybody got a guess? Just once in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 14:21. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not the covenant with us. They were afraid God would break his covenant because of their sins. You know, and they were scared that the throne would be disgraced. But that's the only time it's used in the Bible. Okay, and when I say left the house, as grace left the house, I'm not talking about this building. It has nothing to do with the buildings or church buildings. You always hear people say it, the church isn't the building, especially what we're going through. Church isn't the building, it's the people. And that's true. So when I say, has grace left the house, has grace left your life? From receiving from God or giving it to someone else? He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, if you don't receive God's grace, how are you going to give grace to somebody else? You don't even know what it is, you know? God's got to show you grace. You have to learn it. It's not just a one-time deal, you know? It's not like you get saved and all of a sudden, wow, now I know what grace is. Now I know what forgiveness is. No, it's learning. You know, when I was on the railroad, I got my engineer's license. They hand me the license, and then they put me on an engine, and I had to learn. I had to learn how to use the engine, learn how to use the power, learn everything. And this, when you think you've got everything learned, then they switch over to computerized engines. Then I had to go back to square one and start learning computerized engines and how they work and how fast things are different than on a regular engine that I started on. So just because you get something doesn't mean that's it. Every 3 years we had to retake tests, you know, air tests, knowledge on air and all this stuff and the rules. And you forget some things. I can tell you by going through those, it's like, wow, I didn't realize I'd forgotten so much. And the only way that rule's going to keep in your head is if you practice it. If you've done it over and over and over, you don't even have to think about it. It's like, I remember I took one test 1 year, and it's just like I was looking down answering the questions, and usually it takes 2 hours to do the test. I got done like in an hour because every question I read, it's like, oh, I've done that. I've been in that situation. You remember it. It's somewhere in your subconscious sometimes. But anyway, I wanted to share a couple of stories, and I'm sure that some of you have heard them before, but I think this one is, I can't remember if it was Amazing Grace, the book, or Grace Revolution. But anyway, there's a guy that ministered to downtrodden people in some city. And one time he came across a prostitute. And the prostitute, he was talking to her, and she was crying, and she felt bad because she was selling her 2-year-old daughter to men for, you know, kinky sex. And she felt bad, but she was also a drug addict, and that's how she got her money, you know. And so she was torn inside. I'm sure guilt, you know, remorse, but you know, I know as an addict, it's hard to stop, because the first thing on your mind is your addiction. So anyway, he told her, he says, well, you should go to a church. And she just looked at him and said, what? Why would I go to a church? I feel bad enough already. I don't want to, they'll just make me feel worse. And at first, before I took this inventory of myself, I would have right away said, well, that's not true. It's not the church, it's you people. You refuse to believe. But that's not always true. It made me think. How would I react if somebody was actually telling me that story? How do you think you'd react if somebody just walked up to you right now and sat there and told you they're selling their 2-year-old child for drugs for their drug habit? Would your first thing be grace? Oh, this poor kid. She's in a rough spot. I can't imagine selling my child for drugs or for anything. How desperate she must be. And she's looking for something. And she's probably looking for what we have. But apparently she's had a bad taste in her mouth with church. That's too bad. Because this is a place where nothing should shock us. Do you have feelings about it? Yeah, sure I would. I'd have feelings about it. It's like, your 2-year-old daughter? What are you thinking? But I would hope, too, beyond that, grace would kick in and think, okay, what can I do to help this lady? Apparently, she's in a rough spot. She feels guilty. She's got a battle going on. What can I do, God? And if we have practiced grace over and over and over, that will just come without even thinking about it, because it'll become who you are. And then there's another one. I really like this one. In church, I was reading, this homeless guy came into a church, and he walked down the front and sat down in front of everybody, and nobody came up to him, nobody talked to him, nobody did nothing, except all of a sudden, here comes one old guy walking from the back of the church. He comes up, sits down beside him, puts his arm around him. That's it. Now, I guarantee you, if it's a homeless person, they're going to smell, they're going to stink. You don't know if they have lice. You don't know anything. If they get HIV, you don't. But apparently, grace kicked in for this guy. Because apparently, he didn't think about that stuff. He didn't think of himself. He thought about this poor guy. He's here for a reason. He's here for a reason. I need to support him. I need to be there for him. I need to show him grace. And that's what he did. I hope I'm like that man. And you look what's happening in our church right now. And it's not just our church. It's churches all over the world, all over this country. They're closing. Numbers are going down. But on the good side, I just read where Christian schools, their enrollment's increasing. So I don't know if God's trying to prepare us for something or not, that the youth are stepping up. Because all we see is the youth that are in, when you turn on the news, LGBTQ or whatever and all that stuff, you would think that all youth are like that, and they're not. There's not. And the thing is the kids that are enrolling for this colleges could be one of those kids if we show grace. If we just yell back at them, that's not going to accomplish anything. And sometimes that's how we can be. We think we're right and they're wrong. And that may be. But that old thing we learned from Jack Frost was, do you want to be right or do you want to have a relationship? I'd rather have a relationship. You know, I have a hard time. I admit it, I have a hard time getting past some things that they do, their appearances and stuff like that. But man, I'm trying to use grace. I'm trying to use that tool that God's gave me. And when you look at the world right now, and you see some of the things that are going on, it can get scary, and especially you get scared for your kids and everything. But this is where our grace should shine the most, because it is so dark out there that these people can't even see where they're going. And they got the blind leading the blind. They need somebody that can see. That's us. We have the light that they need to see. And most of the time, they're searching for exactly what we have. And I searched for it. You know, for 32 years, I was searching for God, and I didn't know it. But somebody had to lead me there. And there was friends that invited us to church. And somewhere along the line, God got through to me. He showed me grace. He gave me the faith to believe and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's what grace is. It is giving you unmerited favor. You know, and I look around this congregation here, and a lot of people have been here a long time. And there's some people that have been here through all of my struggles with drug and alcohol, with pornography, with addictions, with just being a bad father and a husband and making bad choices that cause collateral damage to other people, you know, and you beat yourself up and you get so downtrodden. That's where the devil wants you. Instead of receiving grace, you receive shame. and you keep receiving it, and you just keep piling it on until it's so heavy, you just can't get up. I got so depressed, I would lay on my couch. I'd work, but that's all I did. I'd come home and lay on the couch, and I'd watch TV, and Sheila would tell me to get up, and I said, you don't understand. I can't. And it wasn't about physical strength. It was about no hope. I was so depressed, chronically depressed. And when I go out, I'd have anxiety attacks where I thought I was going to have a heart attack and I have to get home. That's the only place I felt safe, you know? And I lived like that for years. But you know what? By grace, and I can't tell you when. I know I prayed for it, but I can't tell you when the answer came. I don't have anxiety anymore. And everybody gets depressed, but I'm not chronically depressed anymore. I'm more like a normal person, if you can believe it. And so that's one of the things that I had to deal with. I made poor choices. And I, you know what? Almost forgot this. I'm glad I read. You guys being in my life is just another way God's showing me his grace. Because God works through this world. Yeah, sometimes it's miraculous things that happen, healings. But lots of times you have to have people that keep on loving you and keep on loving you and keep on loving you through everything you do, the bad stuff. And I had that. I had people that would come, and I'd have to, Sheila would sit in the front of the church in the old building. I'd sit in the back because she didn't even want me to come to Agape anymore. But when I went to leave, there was two or three couples that would come up and say, God, we're so glad to see you. We love you and everything. And it's just like, wow. I look back now, and that's grace. That's unmerited favor with them and God. And that's what got me through, because it gave me confidence to come back again and come back again. And it's been a process over the years. Two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. But, you know, even when I take the step back, grace is still there. I can't get away from it, you know. And sometimes we get grace. I remember one time, Sheila and I like to share my own story to let you know that I'm not perfect. That's why it's grace, just me being up here. Because I've done so many things wrong in my life, and I still do stupid stuff and make bad choices. But his grace is always there. And it's the same for all of you. No matter what you've done, his grace is right there. It's on you. It's in you. Whether you feel it or not. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. So, the hope is with God. So what does grace actually mean, and how do we live it in our lives? First of all, you live a good life for yourself. Love yourself. God says, love your neighbors as you love yourself. So we've heard so many times, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to have a lot. You're going to have trouble loving your neighbor. And your neighbor isn't just people you know. It's literally your neighbors, anybody you meet, you know. And you don't even know these people. The only way you're going to be able to love them if you don't know them is by grace, by God's unmerited favor. And he gives you grace, and you develop love, just like I had to learn a new engine. When we get saved, we get grace. We've never had it before. It's a first-time deal for us. What do we do with it? What do I do with grace, God? What is grace? And God says, I'll show you. And I love Evan Almighty, where Morgan Freeman plays God, and he says to him, if you pray for love, is God going to give you love, or is he going to give you an opportunity to love? And this is just my opinion. It's always going to be an opportunity for anything. Because when God gave us grace, it says he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things. He never left one thing out. So I'm not going to pray for love. God, fill me with your love. No, it's already there. His righteousness is already in me. I'm not going to get any more of it. You know, everything that he's given me, every gift is to the fullest. Now, God says, use it. and I'll help you. I'll teach you. He doesn't just throw the tool at us and say, figure out what it is and what it does and go do it. No, he wants to, he presents opportunities. And how do we know when we mess up? Conviction, not condemnation. You get convicted. Whole different, you know? Conviction, you can come back and try again. Condemnation, you're scared. Lots of times, you know, because you're scared you fail again. Because in the world's eyes, when you fail, that's the only chance you get a lot of times. With God, they never end. When you're convicted, you get back up. Okay, God, I know you're here for me. It's like when I pray, I think I need to start praying, God, thank you for your love that you put in me. Thank you for your faith. It says, through grace, by faith, we are saved. Through grace, faith comes. We got it when when God gave us grace, he gave us faith. Faith is not ours. It's God. He gave us part of his faith, and it's in us. And we just got to use it, you know. And believe it or not, you know, you're not going to be perfect using it. I remember Joyce Meyer said one time when she had breast cancer, she went to the doctor and she goes, I'm going to believe by faith. And he goes, well, that's fine, Joyce. He goes, but I've seen a lot of people come in here, a lot of Christians, and people say they're going to believe by faith and they die. He goes, you got to make sure that you have the faith to believe. And I don't agree with that. We do have the faith to believe, but do we have faith in God? Are we 100% in the game? You know, or are we just hoping and we're trying to think it's faith and it's not, it's hope. Because, you know, faith should leave no doubt. It's done. So, number two, you walk in the righteousness that you've been given, always trying to do the right thing. And when you don't, go back to number one. All right? Forgive yourself because God's forgiven you. So go back to number one and practice it in your life. Practice forgiving yourself. There's nothing you've done that's so bad that God can't forgive you for it. Now, as people, they might not forgive you, because another thing in AA they teach you is to make amends with others unless it'll hurt them. And most of the time you don't get the answer you want or you don't get the response that you want. They're angry and they can't get over it. They can't let it go. So we use the forgiveness that God placed in our hearts when he forgave us and accepted us into his family. And we need to apply that towards them. That's grace. And when you walk away, forgiveness is for you. That's to set you free from that bondage. Grace, whole different thing. You know, grace is for them. You give them grace. It's not for me. I already have it. But I give it to them. I pass it on. And that's hard for us to do sometimes. You know, a lot of us, I know me, it's like I sometimes have a hard time letting go of things. And sometimes I'll just say I'm sorry to people because I know it's the right thing to do. And that's another thing in here, righteousness. You know, you've been given it, so use it. You don't have to pray for more of it. You got it. You know, just try to do the right thing. Just God, please help me to use the righteousness you gave me. Help me to do the right thing today that will bring you glory. And when you fail, you go back to number one. Same thing. God is good and his mercy endures forever and ever. Always has mercy, always has grace, no matter what you've done. And he'll give you the grace. He's given us the grace to get through. You know, right now we're having trouble with some of our children. And it's been 5 years. It's been hard, really hard. And I realized after looking up grace, I'm not giving them grace. I just try and forget about it. I hardly ever pray for them. And even though they don't know it, I know it, and that's what came to light in me when I was going through this. I need to rethink what I'm doing. I need to go back to square one and start showing them grace, you know, and realizing that for some reason they're believing the lies of the enemy instead of the truth from God. And so I just got to pray for them now. I have to pray for them. I haven't been doing that. I've been living in sin, because it says when you know to do right and you don't do it, that's sin. I know better. I stand before you. I confess I sin against my own family. But God still gives me grace and mercy. So it never ends. We've been adopted into a wonderful family by God. Be grateful and pass that hope to someone else, which I just covered. You know, grace is for them, not for us. We already have it. Now we're giving it to somebody else. And maybe that'll help them. Is that some water, some plant? Maybe that's some water they need. Maybe they'll walk away thinking, wow, I didn't believe I'd get a reaction from them like that. They forgive me, you know? People don't expect that a lot. So it's nice when they get it. And maybe that's one step closer to God they're going to get. You know, you never know what part you're going to play in someone's life. Have a heart of compassion for others as they are lost, as you were and are. And when I was in AA, but years ago there was a guy that I was reading a book. And he said that, and I think a lot of us can be, because Jesus even said, you judge by what you see and you judge wrongly. And so we look at alcoholics, maybe we look at people that, even our family, won't associate with us. They don't want to see us, they don't want anything to do with us. You know, all that stuff. But what we don't see, and I think what we judge, is their heart. Because it's like, well, what they're doing is just wrong. That's just wrong. What's wrong with them? You know, what's wrong with them? Why won't they? Well, what's wrong with me? How come I'm not showing them grace? I've been there before. Where I just want somebody to give me a kind word or encourage me or just say, I understand. Or even if you don't understand, I don't understand, but you know, I'm here for you. I'll pray for you. That's grace. And I know that's what I have to start doing for my family. Compassion, it says in the Bible, when Jesus looking down on all those people, and he said he came to tears because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't know where to go. They were searching for something, but they didn't know where to go. And then here comes the shepherd. And not only that, but Jesus said, you know, the harvest is great. Who knows what the disciples saw? What Jesus saw was a harvest. That's a good thing. What I might see is, what's wrong with these people? You know, you got a brain, use it. You know, that's what people think when people do stupid stuff. Well, you got a brain, use it. Well, I got a heart, use it. Shut the brain off and start, use the compassion in my heart that God gave me. And expect good things for yourself and others. All things work together for those who love God. So, you know, somehow God takes all these tragedies and good things and mixes them up together. They're like separate ingredients. Like you got, you know, one ingredient might not taste bad by itself, or may taste bad by itself, and another one may taste good, and this one may be bad. Even if all of them taste bad on their own, like you stick your finger in cocoa and lick it, that's bad, you know? But when you put them all together, and you get a brownie, is that bad? No. I love brownies. So that's what we are. We're a mixed bag. There's a lot of different ingredients in us, you know. We have the world in us yet to a point, because that's what we're fighting. We're fighting the flesh. But we also have grace in us. We have faith and hope and kindness and compassion and virtue. All these things are in us. God gave us everything. He didn't forget one thing. We just have to learn how to use them. And you... Huh? Oh, sorry. I'll make this quick.
I don't have it. It's a virtual...
Okay, I'll make this fast. Okay, another thing for grace is... In the Greek, it means stoop down. Well, God definitely came to us. He came to our level. He understands us as a human. We're dust. He knows that. We're frail. He knows that. So he came to us. And this is, it seems like a tall mountain to climb, but it's not as hard as you think it is. It says in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. And it said, Jesus called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he gave us the very great and precious promises. With these gifts, you can share in God's nature. So with the gift of grace, we get to share and be like God. We get to have his nature. And the world will not ruin you with its evil desires. So when you feel bombarded, you don't have to. You have in you the ability to overcome. 2 Corinthians 11:19-21, you are wise, so you will gladly be patient with fools. You are even patient with those who order you around, or use you, or trick you, or think they are better than you, or hit you in the face. That's grace. That's Paul talking to a congregation. Apparently, they were definitely practicing grace. And that's what it is. We think we draw lines in the sand. You cross this line, I'm done. God has no line in the sand. When you're saved, you're saved. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. He'll never break his covenant. John 14:27, Jesus, I leave you peace. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So don't let your heart be troubled or afraid. So we don't have to be scared. God has given us peace, his peace, not the world's peace. World's peace when everything's right where it should be and everybody's doing right what they should be doing. No, that's not God's peace. God's peace, we can have it with what's going on now in the world. In John 14:25, I've told you all these things while I'm with you, but the Helper will teach you everything and cause you to remember all that I have told you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So we have the Holy Spirit. That's how God trains us. The Holy Spirit comes. He convicts us when we're wrong, and he also lets us know when we're doing the right thing, because you get blessed and they get blessed, and you feel it in your heart. You feel it in your heart. And last one, I'll close with this, Ephesians 8:9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So, what's that? You have humbleness in you by grace. By grace you're saved. By grace you receive all these things. By grace you're righteous. By grace you're compassionate. By grace you're kind. And by grace you humble yourself before God, because you know what he's done for you. So I guess the thing is, I just want to encourage you to use what's already in you. Go out thinking something different about grace. Don't think, God, give me the faith. Give me this. No, God, I thank you. Thank you, I have the faith, because you gave me everything pertaining to life and godliness. So help me to use it, God. Show me how to use it. Come with me and show me how to use this. And everything is going to be okay, because all things work for good to those who love God. So anyway, I just love y'all, and I was happy that I could do this morning, and thank you for allowing it.
Thank you.